We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I work hard every day, yeah, yeah, yeah. I work hard every day, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But today is my day, it's my day. And no matter.
We're going to talk with our friend Ross Tucker here. He is a radio.com sports NFL insider. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. Ross enjoyed a 7-year NFL career. Went undrafted out of Princeton. And like I said, if you're a football fan, you've probably listened to the Ross Tucker football podcast. You, Crowder, are a radio.com sports NFL insider.
And I am a subscriber to the Ross Tucker podcast as well.
Have you done any radio.com interviews yet?
No, Ross is known a little bit better than me.
I'm just wondering if
I'm
you've
I'm going to dive in, though.
All right.
After Ross gets through, then they'll call me the next week.
Just finding out.
Here we'll piggyback off Ross.
Here is Ross Tucker. Hey, Ross.
Hey, you know what's funny? Two things I was just thinking of, right? Number one, Channing, when we had meetings recently for some of the radio.com folks, and the people that count really like you and really were singing your praises. So your time will come, my friend. That's number one. Number two.
Well, wait till they actually
really
hear his word.
yeah. Well,
he's a hater, Ross. He's a hater.
But I don't really think about this very often. But when you said 7 years in the NFL and then went to Princeton, I'm pretty confident I set two records. Like, so number one, out of my whole graduating class, I think I made the most money our first year out of school than anybody. Like in 2001, the rookie minimum was $209,000. And I know there were guys that were making good money, but that was, I can't imagine anybody made more than that. Although it's probably only a couple years later that a lot of them were passing me quickly. And then my second claim to fame, I'm pretty confident I'm the only Princeton grad that got fired four times by the age of 26.
Usually.
There's no way. I mean, think about that. What other Princeton dude has ever gotten fired four times by the time they turn whatever it was, 27?
Right. Usually you come out of Princeton, you're going to be pretty good at whatever you're doing.
Ross was so good.
How about that combo, by the way? I made more money than anybody in my graduating class and then probably got fired at least three times more than any of them in the first 5 years out of school.
Do you? I want to talk to you about the Dolphins, but do you remember, because you talk about it was whatever the minimum was, $209,000, something like that. Do you remember, because Crowder tells a great story about his first game check. Tell him your game check story, just real quick.
Ross, you remember big Kevin Carter, went to Florida, Tennessee and all?
Yeah, I just saw Kevin last week at the CBS College football seminar, of course.
That's right. So KC was on the team when I first got to the Dolphins. We were running that 3-4, and Kevin was there. And as a Gator, he kind of took me under his wing. So we get out the first game. We played the Broncos in Miami. I have, after taxes, $17,000 is my first game check. The Dolphins were the only team not doing – one of the only teams not doing direct deposit, Ross. So they were giving you a hot check for $17,000 post-taxes. They walk in the cafeteria for the breakfast. John Gamble gives me my check. I open it up immediately. I look at my 17 grand. I'm smiling ear to ear. I'm leaning back in my chair. I made it. Kevin Carter comes in wiping the sleep out of his eyes, looks at me and says, "Young buck, I wouldn't get out of bed for that kind of money," and walks to the buffet line. I say, "Damn, KC, that's how it is, huh?"
Do you remember your first game check, Ross?
Yeah, I remember a couple of things. So first of all, I got signed as undrafted out of Princeton, and I don't know, this is my dad's idea, but you get like $500 or $700 for that first mini camp, and my dad's like, "You know what you should do? You should never cash that, because it's not about the money. You know, you should frame that. Well, I don't know where that check is, but I know I never cashed it. And that seems so stupid. I could have cashed it. Like, nowadays, you can just, you know, take a picture of it. Yeah. You can cash it and still actually have the physical check. But it was, I don't know, I guess I was trying to send a message that it was about more than just the money. I don't know. I'd rather still have $700 more of Daniel Snyder's money, to be honest with you right now, at this point. In terms of the first game check, I had $23,000 in student loans to Princeton. You know, they don't offer athletic scholarships. So I remember thinking, you know what, I'm sure I can keep paying $200 a month for 10 years and that the interest rate's low or whatever. But I didn't want that. Like, I didn't want to have debt hanging over me. So I took my first couple checks and wrote like a $21,000 check to Princeton, whatever it was, 23, so that I no longer had any debt or loans. The funniest part about that is, like, a month later, I got a call from Princeton to donate. I said, whoa. I want you to do me a favor. Write something down in my file right now. They're like, yes, sir, Mr. Tucker. Yes, sir. Number one, don't call me again to donate for at least 10 years. I just wrote you guys a check for $23,000. I'm 22 years old. And I said, number two, when I do write a check, at no point do I want it to go to anything academic in nature. I don't care about another science building or anything like that. It will go to the football program and only the football program. And the girl was like, oh, okay, nice talking. I mean, I think right. I scared the
it's
crap
like
out of her.
Some student volunteer. She's getting a couple.
Yeah, it was totally some like sophomore student who was totally confused as to why I was being so animated. But I didn't explain, you know, she probably figured out after I told her I just wrote a check for $23,000.
One of our radio.com sports NFL insiders, Ross Tucker, is with us. You got to check out his Ross Tucker podcast. The whole network is really, really good. Let me just ask a couple Miami Dolphins questions. We've got you on the line here. They released their first depth chart today. There's not much surprise. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the number one quarterback. Josh Rosen is two, although Josh Rosen had a pretty good weekend at camp. In your opinion, because there's two camps on this, in your opinion, would it be a mistake for the Dolphins to start Ryan Fitzpatrick this season because the other camp is, hey, you've got Josh Rosen for one season, you've got to find out what he can do, and if you waste any games, that's foolish. Which side do you fall on that?
I think it only really looks bad for Flores when he's sending these guys out there to play and to try to win and to put their you-know-what on the line. It only looks bad for him if Fitzpatrick is clearly better and he starts Rosen. In other words, if they're close, I think you should go with Rosen. I think you will go with Rosen. Maybe that's where some of these reports are coming from. Now, the last comment I heard him say was that it was Fitzpatrick by a lot. I think he realizes the quickest way to lose a locker room is if it's clear that Fitz is a lot better and he plays Rosen instead, that those guys are going to be like, man, what's going on here? I think either during the preseason games, Rosen plays well enough that it's close and he can go with Rosen, or he starts the season with Fitz. They don't have a very good team, guys. I think you know this. And so after two, three, maybe four games, when they're not doing well, Fitz probably, you know, has a three-pick game. Then he can go to Rosen, and the guys on the team will say, well, yeah, got to try something else. We're not winning, and Fitz had a bad game. I think that is sort of the tentative game plan, and it would be mine.
And, Ross, I'm glad you brought that up, losing the locker room, because that's my argument with the Josh Rosen over Fitzpatrick. I understand planning for the future. I understand finding out if Rosen's the guy because you have to plan for your next year draft with Tua, Fromm, Herbert. I understand all that. But from the player's perspective, you have to put the guy out there that those other 51 guys know can lead them to victories. You can't play the I'm getting ready for next season game with the players, correct?
I agree, and that's why they're probably secretly hoping that Rosen plays really well in these preseason games so that they can justify starting Rosen. And or if that doesn't happen, they're going to have a quick leash with Fitzpatrick. They know he's not the future. they're not really primary goal number one, trying to win games this year. And I think they would like to see as much of Josh Rosen this season as they possibly can. Although, you know, couldn't you also make the argument that if Rosen in year two can't beat out Fitzpatrick or is far behind Fitzpatrick, I don't know if that's the case, I mean, isn't that almost already telling you what you need to know? I mean, it's not like he's a rookie. He did play last year. They're both coming into a new system together. I mean, that would almost be enough for me to think, okay, if the guy can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though he's got some games under his belt, he's a lot younger, they're learning the offense at the same time, it's probably not the best sign for Rosen moving forward.
Yeah, we've had that conversation as well where, yeah, your second-year guy, top 10 pick overall, and he should come in, walk away with the starting QB job. He's even got a year of experience under his belt, so that may end up being an easy decision. Then I want to shift gears. Ross Tucker is with us. So you were an offensive lineman. Last week the Dolphins, they fired their offensive line coach, Pat Flaherty. It was after four or five practices, and this isn't a coach that Brian Flores inherited. Like, he brought him here. Have you ever seen that? Like, that quick a hook on a hand-picked coaching staff hire?
Not that I can remember. I can remember my rookie year, Marty Schottenheimer, cutting Jeff George, our starting quarterback, after the second game. That was a welcome to the NFL moment. But I can't remember a coach like that getting the heave-ho after four practices. You know, it's funny because we were just saying this about the whole Rosen-Fitzpatrick thing, but there's two school thoughts here, right? If you want, you could say, wow, that's a red flag for Flores, not a good sign at all that, you know, the guy he thought should be the offensive line coach, he fires after four practices or whatever. The flip side would be, wow, that's a really good sign for Flores in that he's not afraid of what people will say, and he's not afraid to admit a mistake if it's a mistake and move on. I'd probably lean to the latter. I mean, he had Googs as the backup O-line coach. My understanding is that he wanted Googs to be the O-line coach, but he wasn't available or something. I don't know how he's available to be the assistant then, but whatever. Maybe you guys can explain that one to me. But I'll go more with the – I'll always go with the guy that's not afraid to make a mistake or admit that he made a mistake and get it right. I mean, there's a lot of time before the season starts. Get it right if you think that's what's right.
And, Ross, I believe there was something I've asked this question a number of times. I believe there was something about Googe was with the Colts and they went to the playoffs, and I guess Flores was trying to find his crew or something beforehand, but the Patriots went to the damn Super Bowl, bro. So I don't know why that whole dynamic is with the O-line. But talking about coaches, do you believe in that coaching tree stuff? Because everybody down here is excited because Flores was with Belichick. He's a Belichick disciple. Do you believe in that, where a coach coaches under a great coach so he has some greatness in him?
I certainly believe that there is knowledge that they inherit, institutional knowledge that can really help them. And, you know, for brief times, we saw that with Mangini in New York, with Romeo Crennel in Cleveland, with Josh McDaniels in Denver, even with Charlie Weiss in Notre Dame, you know, for brief times. The weird thing about it is they couldn't sustain it. I mean, if you remember, McDaniels got off to a real hot start in Denver, even after the whole Cutler, you know, debacle. Charlie Weiss got like a 50-year contract extension when he was, you know, in his first or second year because Notre Dame was doing so well. Mangini, you know, he ended up going to the playoffs and did some good things with the Jets. So Crennel went 10-6. With Derek Anderson and the Browns. So those guys have done some good things, and certainly there is sort of the Patriot way, and they know the Patriot way. My personal opinion on where those guys have fallen short has been, number one, they're not Belichick, and number two, I think that they try to act like Belichick, and guys see through it. I think the most important recommendation I would ever give a guy that's going to be a head coach would just be to be authentic, to be yourself. I mean, even when he was up in front of the media, it sounded like Mangini was trying to be Belichick, and he's not, you know, and McDaniels to some extent as well. I just think if they're going to handle their meetings and the players that way, it's not going to go real well. it doesn't sound like that's how Flores is going. Just some of the phrases they have around. I mean, some of the stuff Flores has said publicly sounds almost more like Mike Tomlin than stuff Belichick would say.
Ross Tucker is with us. Before we run out of time, because you talk about Bill Belichick a little bit there in the coaching tree, and we know that Tom Brady, he signed this new contract over the weekend. Can you say something positive? Because all of us that are here mired in the AFC East, we hear all the positive stuff about the Patriots, and then you hear all the negative stuff about the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets. And I don't mind the negative stuff about the Bills and the Jets, but if I said to you, you have to say something positive about all the teams in the AFC East that are not the New England Patriots, what would you say positively about this upcoming season for the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills?
So for the Jets, I really like some of the additions they made with Le'Veon Bell, Jamison Crowder, C.J. Mosley, and I'm a big believer in Sam Darnold as a quarterback, so that's an easy one. For the Bills, I would say similarly, their biggest issue last year was their offensive line. They signed like seven offensive linemen to bring in. I'm not even kidding. They literally signed like seven free agent offensive linemen to bring in, along with guys like John Brown and Cole Beasley to help out Josh Allen. And then for the Miami Dolphins, I think it's that they are building it the right way with the right kind of players. Like I know Christian Wilkins a little bit. Very impressive young man. I loved Michael Dieter from Wisconsin. I liked Van Ginkle from Wisconsin. Like the guys that they drafted, the guys that they are bringing in, even Dwayne Allen as a veteran at tight end, they are bringing in the right kind of guys. That those are the guys I believe you build around. Versatile, smart, tough, all of those things. If you want to see a carryover from sort of the Patriot way, I think it's Flores starting up front, both sides of the ball with Wilkins and Dieter, with guys that, you know, played 4 years and are smart, tough, and reliable.
Ross, who cracks first, the Cowboys or Ezekiel Elliott?
Cowboys. Cowboys are gonna, because they don't want to play any games without Zeke. Jerry Jones is not a spring chicken anymore. This is his best chance at the Super Bowl since like 2007, probably, going into a year at least. And he doesn't want to ruin that because he also knows all these guys are going to have to get big deals. So he might as well keep them happy. I don't think he wants to miss Zeke in a game or two. I mean, you miss a game or two, think about how punitive that is, guys. You miss a game or two. Let's say they lose one of their first two games that Zeke sits out because of the contract thing. That's probably the difference between them winning the NFC East and maybe being the number one seed versus the Eagles winning the NFC East and the Cowboys being the number five seed. I can't think of it. Maybe you guys can think of something better, you know, bigger than me, but in the NFL, one game can very easily be the difference between you only having to win two home games to go to the Super Bowl versus winning three road games. I mean, that is gigantic. That is a sizable difference, as I can think of off the top of my head, in North American pro sports. That one game difference between winning your division and being number one seed versus being a wild card.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thank you for making time for us, Ross. We appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. You got it.
Well done. There's a guy who – that's a company
that
man. That's a Princeton.
Indeed loves it.
That's a
send
Princeton that company man send right
that,
there.
Send that to the marketing guy at Indeed. He's going to love that.
See you, Ross. Like a guy who gets it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.